Endor had followed the Lord Jesus for quite a number of years. He was active in his local church. In fact, he was one of the worship leaders. He had married a girl named Rowena, lovely Christian girl, and they had five children, one of which had a serious disability. However, Endor began to lose interest in his walk with Jesus, and he succumbed to the temptation and fell into the sin of adultery with more than one other woman. And because of shame and guilt, he left his home, leaving his wife to cope with the five children. And because of the guilt he felt, he no longer went near the church, because he doubted they would ever receive him back. And even the community in the Irish town in which he lived was aware of what was going on, and they were very critical about this so-called Christian man. Now, I find Rowena's attitude very interesting. That's his wife. Despite feeling rejected and under huge pressure financially, she called a few close friends and asked that they pray together that her wayward husband would be restored to her and the children, and above all else, to the Lord. And this group poured out their heart to God about the situation, but Endor remained far away. However, the group kept on praying, believing in the words of Jesus. Do you believe in the words of Jesus? Well, these people certainly did. They believed his words. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. And the door will be opened to you. Well, after months, which actually turned into years, there started a change. Endor made contact with his wife and said he wanted to see the children. And despite all the hurt, Rowena allowed him to come and visit. And these visits became more regular. And after much counseling, something marvelous happened. Endor wanted to come back home. And slowly but surely, the relationship between Endor and Rowena began to be restored. But as yet, he was still far away from God, still a prodigal, still felt full of shame and guilt. But this group, including his wife, kept on praying. Now one day Brenda was his mother-in-law, and we know Brenda pretty well. She served the Lord in Ireland, and she's the person who told us all about this. And the reason I'm telling you really this morning is, when I got my email from Howard, would I take this talk this morning about the outrageous grace of God, Brenda was actually telling me all about her son-in-law and her daughter Rowena. Well, she asked him to go with her to a tent church revival meeting. They must have those in Ireland. I haven't seen them around here. So to please his mother-in-law, man, guys, you've got to, ready. So to please his mother-in-law, he finally agreed to go, and a miracle happened. An altar call was given, and Endor could no longer refuse God. He went forward, not knowing why he went forward at the time, but the result was that he poured out his guilt and shame to the Lord. He came to the realization that God had not ceased chasing him and wanting to restore him. He found the truth of Scripture that night. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, Endor went back to his local church. He publicly confessed what he had done, saying sorry for the disgrace he had brought on his family. And he asked the church family for their forgiveness too. He's now back as a regular attender at his old local church. He plays the guitar in the worship team, and he's now fully restored to his wife and family. Now, one of the things his church did was this, and this is what really captured me. They said, let's have a prodigal son party. Ever had a prodigal son party? No, I've never been to one. And this they did with a wonderful celebration party in honor of what God had done in the person's life. And Brenda said, Ender felt so humbled and so welcome back. Well, some of you might ask, why have you taken up about half your time telling us all that? I tell you why. It's because I am amazed at the outrageous grace bestowed on this man, aren't you? You just think about it for a moment. What about his wife arranging prayer and finally accepting him back? That's outrageous grace. From a lady who said, I trust in God no matter what, and so I will rely on him. What about his children? Some of his children are teenagers, and they felt pretty hurt about all this. But they were Christians too, and they knew the grace of God in their own life, and so they accepted God back again. And what about the church? Accepting him back and even holding a celebration party. I believe the grace of God, the outrageous grace of God, had really touched them, and now they were showing it in a most practical way. But what about the outrageous grace of God, who upon the confession of his sin fully restored this man? That is really outrageous grace, is it not? Did he deserve it? We know he didn't deserve it, did he? The other question is, who bestowed this grace on him? It came from all those who had been wronged. And that's what grace is all about, really. When we come to think of the outrageous grace of God. We had disobeyed God. We all have. And yet God says, come back to me. Repent. Turn from your old ways and come back to me. And I can receive you. And when you read the book of Jonah, you can soon see that God, the living God, is a God of outrageous grace. And this morning again we're going to read Jonah chapter 1. And my reader this morning, where have you run to, Emily? Come up now and read to us Jonah 1. And if you've got your Bible, you can follow along with her.
Reading Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said to him, What is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Well done, Emily. Well read. She should be able to read because she's a librarian. We know the Jonah story pretty well, most of us, I guess, but let's just remind ourselves of what this guy was doing. He was running away from God. In fact, Jonah was a believer. He was a Hebrew. And he was a prophet. He had even spoken the words of God, but now he had a terribly hard job. Jonah, I want you to go to those wicked, cruel people, Nineveh, the Assyrians, and tell them that unless they repent, the judgment of God will fall on them. Now, I don't know how you feel about Jonah, but I think the problem with Jonah was that he got all tied up too much with the justice of God, and God is a just God, and he will put wrong things right. But that's all poor old Jonah could think about, and he didn't think too much about the grace of God. All he thought about was those wicked people, the Assyrians. I don't want them to get converted. I don't want them to be the people of God. I'm not going near them. And so amazingly, he went down to the wharf, and there was a boat going in the opposite direction to where he was meant to go. That was a good sign, wasn't it? And they said, well, the fare is so much, and he had a look in his pocket, and lo and behold, he had the right fare too. All the things that he needed were starting to fall into place, and so he goes off to tries to get to a city in Spain. But we're told in the Bible that God sent a mighty, mighty storm on that sea. And that caused Jonah to go right down to the bottom of the boat and go to sleep, and he wasn't too bothered about what was happening up on deck. But certainly the sailors were worried, weren't they? They were calling on their gods to quieten down the wind and the waves. They even threw stuff overboard to lighten the ship and hoped that they could survive, because they felt that they were going to go down to the bottom. And the captain, we're missing one man, Jonah. Where is he? He goes down and finds him, shakes the living daylights out of him and said, why are you sleeping in times like this? Call on your God to see if he'll hear you and answer you. And Jonah wakes up and he goes on board and he can up the top and he sees what is happening. He sees the terrified sailors and they ask him, who are you, Jonah? Where have you come from? And he confesses, doesn't he? I am a Hebrew. I serve the living and true God who made the sea. And actually, I'm running away from him. Well, that really spoke to the sailors, did it not? And they tried frantically to save the ship and all on board. But Jonah said, the only way you can do that is to throw me overboard. They didn't want to do that, did they? None of us would want to do that to poor old Jonah. But in the end, in their desperation, they cried out not to their heathen gods, but to Jonah's God, O God, don't put the blame on us for the death of this man. Please don't. And so they picked him up. And Jonah was thrown into the sea. Humanly speaking, he would drown. He was facing death. And immediately they did that, what happened? The sea was calm. And those sailors made a vow to Jonah's God, the living God, that they would serve him, that they would sacrifice to him. And I don't know whether they ever heard of Jonah again. Perhaps they did. But I'm amazed at the last verse of chapter 1 of Jonah, aren't you? God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now you think about that just for a second. There are hundreds of fish in the sea, millions of them, all swimming around. And at that very moment in time, God had arranged, I like the way the NLT puts it, God had arranged for a great fish to be right there at the right time to swallow him up. There's something about the grace of God, isn't it? It's not chance or anything like that. God had arranged it all. So I want you to see this morning, and I hope God will help me and you understand something of his outrageous grace toward the sons of men. And we can see it in the following. First of all, his grace for the people of Nineveh. Nineveh had a population of about 120,000. They were the most cruel people that had ever been known. In fact, I was reading some of the writings of Assyrian generals and so on this week, and I wouldn't be bold enough to even read them out to you. They'd give you nightmares. But God wanted that sort of person to repent and come back to him. That was amazing grace. And then I want you to think too about the sailors in the boat. They were heathen sailors. They were calling on their gods who were not gods at all. But God wanted them to know about his outrageous grace. And I think it was timely that Jonah was there. Jonah thought he was running away from God, but all the time, God was still chasing him and giving him an opportunity, and said, well, even though Jonah didn't know it, Jonah, you'll have to confess now to these heathen sailors who I am. And he told them about the living God, the God who created the sea and the sky and all that there is in them. And the amazing thing is that those heathen sailors became believers in the living God, the God of Jonah, the God of the Hebrews. It's marvelous, is it not? How God pursues people. Half the time when they're not even seeking him, God is seeking them. I wonder today if there's any here in our congregation and God is seeking you. That's his outrageous, his amazing grace. So the people of Nineveh, I mean, God could have just said of them, look, they're cruel. They break all the laws that I have set down. And so I've got a great chance of getting rid of them now, because old Jonah, he isn't going to them anymore. He doesn't want to go there. But God was determined that they would hear his message. And likewise the sailors. But think about the grace that was extended toward Jonah. God sent a storm to wake Jonah up, to provide people for him so that he could witness to them, And that's one of the amazing things about the grace of God toward Jonah. He created a real storm in his life that he was forced to confess as to who he was and to how great his God was. And so he tells the sailors all about his God. And so he's given this wonderful opportunity to witness to the sailors with a wonderful result. You know, oh, that God would use me and that he would use you. He would use this church to witness to the people of our community. And we would see them converted. That would be marvelous and wonderful. But it would still only be because of the grace of God, would it not? Yeah. And so God sent a storm. And he had a purpose in that. Even though nobody could see that a storm had any purpose at all but to put you under fear and great fearfulness. And then as Jonah faced certain death. I mean, if you get thrown into the sea in a storm and you're miles from land, you ain't got much show, have you? I mean, you're a pretty good swimmer, aren't you, Andrew? Not bad. I mean, even Andrew wouldn't be able to get to shore in a storm like that. Facing certain death. But what did God do? God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah up. Against all the odds, God was there and he extended wonderful grace toward Jonah. Gave him a chance to be a witness, and even save Jonah from certain death. The grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, is truly outrageous, is it not? A huge challenge in all this for you and for me. Did you know that God's outrageous grace is extended to all people on this earth? And there's some pretty atrocious things going on. But God still loves them. His gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ is extended to everybody, no matter who they are. You can see on the screen John 3, verse 16. Do you know that verse? Let me quote it to you. I'll quote it the way I was taught in Sunday school. It's from the old King James Version, but it's pretty good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved me. Richard Print. I'd hate God to put up a notice of every time that I have rebelled against him. Man, I'd be running to my home and hope you couldn't catch me and shut the door. But God so loved me and God so loved you, no matter what you've done, that he sent his son to die on a cross of shame so that whoever would believe would never perish but have everlasting life. My dear friend, I reckon without a doubt that's outrageous grace. Don't you? Perhaps you came this morning, dear Christian, with this attitude. I doubt whether God could ever save that person. I doubt whether God's grace could ever extend to them. Oh God, save us from that sort of thinking. While there is life, there is hope, and there are some amazing conversions to Jesus Christ in this day and in this age. Never doubt what God can do in a person's life, will you? Oh God, I cry out to him. Give me something of your grace so that I can believe with all my heart that no matter who that person is or where they're at, they can come to you. Oh God, give me a heart like yours and extend grace to people. Sometimes we can be so critical about the things that people do and happen and we don't want them here in our church. Hey, we want people who are needy. We want people, don't we, who will come to that stage of repentance so that God will fully restore them and we will say amen to what God does in their life. And perhaps there's people here this morning, somebody, who feels that God is calling them. Anybody here like that today? And you feel God is calling you to come to his son Jesus Christ, but you can't because you feel unworthy. You feel I've blown it. There's so much guilt and so much shame. Let us assure you this morning that God will receive you if you come to him. He really will. I love the words of Ephesians 2. Did you know it's by grace you are saved? Through faith. It is not of works or of yourself. So nobody can boast when they get to heaven and say, hey, you know, I got here because I was a very good person. The only boasting in heaven will be that Jesus Christ saved me and he can save you. Oh, don't feel unworthy. You're the very person that God wants to come to him this morning. And maybe you're a person this morning who's running away from God. Oh yes, you're a Christian. But you feel that you're a failure. That this is the end. I ask you this morning to look at Jonah again. And the outrageous grace of God in his life. Because you know, failure is never final with God. He's a God of grace. If you will come to him, confess your faults to him, confess your sin. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My dear friend, as we think of Jonah this morning, we are thinking of our God, and He's a God of outrageous grace. He really is. And if this morning you need help to come maybe back to God, to stop running, or come and see us, won't you? Come and see Andrew, pastor. Maybe you're a younger person and you'd like to talk to another younger person. We'll see Jamie down here. Maybe you would came with somebody else. They'll help you. But we want you to be living in the knowledge, in the practical knowledge, that our God is a God of outrageous grace. Let's pray. O Lord, what can we say to you? We don't know why you pursue people like us, who are so easily persuaded to run away from you. Forgive us for the times when we have done that. And oh God, perhaps there are people here this morning who are struggling about this. Oh God, assure them that you are the God of outrageous grace. We pray that your Spirit will work in their lives. And we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us, so that we might experience just what a wonderful God of grace you are. We bless you and we thank you, and we pray that you will work in our lives to the glory of your name. Amen.